Well, thank you so much. You can be seated, but you're going to stand back up here in just a moment. I'm going to have you stand when we read the Word of God in just a moment. You know, I love being around missions-minded people. I can tell sitting on the platform here, I like to study the congregation. And I can tell that you take on the spirit of your pastor. And I thoroughly enjoyed getting to know your pastor over the last few years. As he mentioned, I did work as an assistant pastor for 24 and a half years. I've been the pastor for 7 years. I was saved in the church, baptized in the church, called to preach in the church, worked 24 and a half years in the church, now pastor the church. Yeah. Now, it don't always work that way, but it was just God's will for me. And I'm right where God wants me to be. And I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, if you'll get right in the will of God where He wants you to be concerning this thing of missions, I'm telling you, you can be one of the happiest Christians in this church. Just do what God tells you to do. That's the reason we call it faith promise, because if you sit down and try to figure out what you can afford to give, that's not faith. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You see, you're not trying to tap into your resources. You're trying to tap into God's resources. And so that's what we're trying to do this week, is to tap into God's resources as far as missions. I was looking at your missions card. I like that. And it's got places on there for you to check about what God would have you to give to world missions. And my favorite part of a Faith Promise missions card, preacher, is the blank line right there. Because that means that you can give more than $100 a week in that. So I kind of like the blank line in that area. I want to say a word of thanks to our missionaries. You are very honored people. And I want to say a word of thanks to each of you for your service. In our church, missionaries are very highly respected people when they walk into the church. And I want to say a word of thanks for giving your life to serve the Lord, whether it be in foreign missions or domestic missions. Here, we support a lot of missionaries that are trying to reach Americans. And by the way, we need to reach some of the Americans, right? You look around, we're in bad, bad shape right now. But thank God. As a matter of fact, the brother from Tennessee, and he speaks my dialect. I was born and raised in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And so I understand your dialect. So when he got up here and started talking, I thought, yeah, it's good to hear that old Southern dialect again. And but preacher, thank you so much for the honor, for being here, the gift, the hospitality. You won't find a greater preacher in America that's as hospitable as this preacher right here. And I want to say a word of thanks to him. Take your Bible, if you would, please join me in John chapter 17, the Gospel of John, chapter number 17. Now, I want you to write down, if you believe in writing your Bible, or write something down here, because I'm going to be speaking on the same subject 3 straight nights, all right? Not the same message, but the same subject. And I want to speak tonight, tomorrow, and on Friday, on this subject: missions matters to God. Missions matters to God. Let me tell you something I found out. I found out in the Scripture that if you'll find out what matters to God and you make it matter to you, boy, I'm telling you, you can be right on track with the Lord. And missions matters to God. Matter of fact, it matters so much to Him, He had one son and He made a missionary out of him. And that's how important missions is to the Lord. Have you found your place? John 17. Let's stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4. And I'm going to read down through verse 8, and then we'll catch verse number 18. And I'm going to give you some other verses here in just a moment. Now, we're here for a reason, are we not? Amen. We're here to focus on world evangelism and world missions. It is the local church's, it should be the local church's heartbeat, because it's the heartbeat of God. Our text that we're about to read here tonight is what we would consider, as Independent Fundamental Baptists, this is actually the Lord's Prayer. All right, when you go back over into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives a model prayer. He gives an outline. This is actually the Lord's Prayer. And He's praying for some things just prior to going to the cross. Let's pick up the prayer in verse number 4. Jesus says, "I have glorified thee on the earth." Now I want you to notice this. He says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the," listen now, "to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they," that's the men that God had given him to teach and instruct, "now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didest send me." Now skip to verse number 18. "As thou hast sent me," Jesus is praying to the Father, "into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Now I want you to look right up here at me for just a moment, and we're going to pray, and you can be seated. When you read this verse, in verse number 4, Jesus said, "I have finished the work." Wait a minute, time out here just a minute. He hadn't made it to the cross yet. He hadn't made it to the tomb yet. And yet He's saying to these disciples, these men that God had given Him and He had taught them, He had poured 3.5 years of His life in teaching them one thing: "I'm fixing to leave. And when I leave, I am now going to commission you to carry on the work. Not just in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. You see, it sure sounds like Jesus was telling His disciples, "I'm done. But where my work is finished, yours just begins." And so tonight, I want us to think on that subject: missions matters to God. Now, Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have to study the Word of God. I pray that tonight that You do something divine in the hearts of every person. Father, I pray that that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit of God would supersede the voice of this preacher tonight. And we'll certainly be careful and give You the glory for all that You shall do now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Just make a mental note of it or write the verse down. And I want you to listen to what it says. It says, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." You know, I'm convinced today, preacher, that in America today, in churches in America, we're doing less with more than what the Apostle Paul was able to do with less. He did more with less. And we've got, listen, today, out of all of the generations and all of the church age, we have more ability today to reach the world than the Apostle Paul had. My goodness, man, on the platform, you can get on your cell phone and talk to somebody in India. Hey, you can get on here and FaceTime with somebody in Russia. You can make contact with the world. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul had at his fingertips what we had today?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine what he would have done if he had the availability of what we have today? You see, this missions conference is more than just a missions conference. It's a commitment on your part. When at the end of the week, we're going to prove the sincerity of our love. We're going to prove the sincerity of our love for the plan of our Lord. Well, that Bible that you hold in your hand, that holy, inspired, precious, preserved Word of God that we have in the English language that you call the King James Bible, that Bible that you hold in your hand, we love it, we cherish it, we preach it. Listen, we're commanded to obey it. Am I doing okay so far? We're King James, right? All right, that book that you hold in your hand, that King James Bible, look up at me for just a moment. That is a book of missions. It's 66 books written by missionaries. Every one of them were missionaries that wrote the Word of God. And you know what they were communicating to us? They were communicating to us, here is what God called me to do, and now this is what you now are to do to carry on the work of the ministry. The Bible is a book about missions written by missionaries. Listen, the missions book that we call the Word of God, you know what it contains? It contains the plan and the purpose for why we exist as a church. God laid out the plan for the world. Listen, it records the fall of man. It records the plan of God to redeem man back to himself. It records for us God's grace, his long suffering, and his attempt to draw all men to himself. Listen, it records that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. He sent forth his Son into this world to redeem mankind back to himself. You say, where did you get all that? I got it out of the missions book.
Amen.
Yeah, I got it out of the missions book. I found out what the plan was. I found out what the purpose was. And for 32 years of salvation, I've been just trying to fulfill the plan and purpose of the Word of God. It's a missions book written by missionaries, you see. You see, Jesus said, I finished my work which thou gavest me to do. So he looked at those disciples and he says, now I'm done, but now you just began. Your life's ministry now is just beginning. And listen, what I want to say to you tonight is this. Jesus said in John chapter 20 and verse 22, he says, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Send us with what? Send us with the greatest message ever known to man, and that is Jesus saves. Let me tell you a story. You say, preacher, can Jesus save anybody? I don't know. You tell me when I tell you this story. We had a man that visited in our missions conference. He visited with a man, a young man for our missions conference, and they were actually related to each other. Both of these men were from Iran. One message, one sermon, one invitation, and that guy steps out, comes down, gets born again.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Now, he's from Iran. How could he come down and get saved and he'd only visit the church one time? Let me tell you something. There's something powerful about the message. There's something powerful about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. If it was left up to each one of us individually to reach the world, you could not do it by yourself. But look around. We don't have to do it by ourselves. We can do it collectively together. Yeah, we can all have a part. That's the wonderful thing about serving God. You know, Jesus understood that we have short-term memory. Yeah, have you ever noticed how many times that he would instruct his disciples and had to repeat himself? Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission five different times. Five different times he gave the Great Commission. And the last time that he gave it was right before he stepped on that cloud to glory and ascended back to the right hand of the Father. He said, oh guys, I just want to remind you one more time that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Got that? That was the last thing he said. Just reminding them. Why? Because he was finished. And now he was leaving that responsibility to them. You see, we are to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ, carrying out the plan, carrying out the purpose of redemption. Now, Just before we get into the crux of the message, what I want to talk to you about here for a second is, if I'm going to give you two principles. If you miss these principles, you're going to miss the next couple of nights as well. But there's two principles that we have to get nailed down, and that is this. Here's principle number one. All right, you ready? God's will done God's way has God's support. Amen. Let me say it again. God's will done God's way has God's support. Let me give you a perfect illustration. Do y'all remember Cain and Abel? Okay, you got two guys that had two different philosophies about how to fulfill God's will. One of them fulfilled God's will the right way, and guess what? He got God's support. One of them, Cain, tried to fulfill God's way his own way. He did not get God's support. So God's will done God's way will have God's support. Y'all remember Ananias and Sapphira? They knew what God's will was, but they tried to do it their way. And because they were trying to do God's will their way, didn't get God's support. You know where it got them? It got them in the grave. Now listen, you don't want to get there that direction, right? But why my point is simply is that if we'll just do God's will, God's way, it will have God's support. You know, why is it that humanly speaking, that we struggle so much with following simple instructions? Now, I'm going to address the men for just a minute. Ladies, please don't nod your head yes, okay? I'm going to address the men. Guys, you know, when we go down to the store and we buy something, maybe we go to Walmart, and we buy some, maybe a bookshelf or something, a cabinet of some sort, and we bring it home and we open it up and it's got to be put together. Now, usually contained in that box, you open it up and there's usually a little plastic sack of something, and it's usually got like a little booklet in there. And we open that up, and normally on the front of that, it says instructions. The guys say, listen, they are not going to intimidate me with those instructions. Right? I know how to put a bookshelf together. And so you know what we normally do? We take the instructions and we flip them off to the side there and we start putting the books. Listen, what we do is we take the box and we set it up and we look at the picture because, by the way, it's got to turn out like the picture, right? And so since we're visual individuals, I'm not going to read some instructions. How stupid is that? I'm not dumb. And so what we do is we try to put the bookshelf together. And then after about 2 hours, our wife comes in and, honey, you finished yet? Almost. I'm almost finished. Well, that sure doesn't look like the picture. I've got it under control. And we get to where we think we're finished. We think, what are all these parts left? And listen, and then all of a sudden it dawns on us. Wait a minute. We go over here and get the instructions, and we open it up. And you know normally where we got off base? About 2 minutes into it. Am I right? About 2 minutes into it, and so what we have to do is disassemble the whole thing and start over. Now, wait a minute. Look up here at me. Let me tell you what's happened. Number one, you wasted time. Because if you would have followed the plan and the instruction manual, it would have come out exactly the way that it was intended to come out. But no, we got to do it our way, right? Because, by the way, nobody can tell us what to do. We know how this thing operates. And God says, wait a minute now, but you do it my will, my way, it's going to have my support. You try to do my will any other way, it does not have my support. Folks, I'm just saying to you tonight that if we'll just grab that principle and run with it, we'd be amazed at what could happen. Do God's will. Hey, the early church, boy, they had it. Let me read you a couple things the Bible says about the early church. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. It says, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Hey, guys. The entire city was filled with the doctrine. Hey, listen, I wonder if part of the doctrine was that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day, and that whosoever will can and shall be saved if they'll come the right way. Amen. And so they filled the city of Jerusalem with their doctrine. Listen to this, Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Go on, still the church, right? And daily in the temple and in every house, they, that's the church, cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I think the early church got it, right? Yeah. Hey, can I ask you, do y'all still think the first century methods work in a 21st century world? Amen. Let me say something. You're a rare breed then, because not very many people, preacher, think it works anymore. Right. Yeah, you know what? The reason it don't work, because people don't work it. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you say, y'all still go soul winning over there in Arlington? Yeah, so many times I can't remember how many groups of soul winners we have. Sometimes I show up thinking it's time to go and it's not. Oh, no, Pastor, that was yesterday. I don't even know what. Listen, there's so many people going out. You say, why? Because that's what the instruction manual said. Yeah. You see, the instruction manual said that, listen, I'm not only supposed to be sending people out, I'm supposed to be going myself, you see. So the first principle is God's will done God's way gets God's support. All right, here's principle number two. Don't miss it now. Follow me. Man's delight in God's direction produces God's desires. Listen to the verse. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You say, oh, goody, all I got to do is come to church and do the right thing and God's going to give me what I want. No, 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 no. You got that backwards. He said, you delight in me. You won't be concerned about these other things. You'll have the same desires that I have. God says, you delight in me, you walk with me, and I will give you the desires that I want you to have. Hey, I'm just saying that when man delights in God's direction, it produces God's desires. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Maybe the reason that the Great Commission unfortunately seems to have become the Great Omission may be because some of God's people have lost the desire for missions. They've lost the desire to go after people. Well, when it comes to God's plan and purpose, we need to look at a few things. So when we looked at our text, you remember Jesus said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Verse 18 basically says this. It says that Jesus then was going to send them out because His Father had sent Him out. And now He says, I'm finished. Now I'm going to relay to you the plan. I'm going to relay to you the purpose. And we are to do it collectively as a church, but individually as a Christian. You say, wait a minute, preacher, how can I be all over the world at the same time? Well, first of all, tonight, here's the message now. Follow me. First of all, let's look at our responsibility for just a second. What is your responsibility? Do you realize as a church, you have a responsibility collectively, but you also have a responsibility as an individual as well. And so what is our responsibility? Listen to some of these verses that you will be well acquainted with. Jesus said, Matthew 28, 19. Y'all remember this? He said, go ye, or go you. Go as a church. Go individually. Go ye into all the world. Now think about that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We've already read Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8. I've already quoted for you John chapter 20 and verse 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We have a responsibility. Now listen, follow me now. That responsibility is twofold. Number one, you can go yourself. You can go yourself. You say, oh, preacher, I don't think God wants me to go myself. Well, how do you know that? Have you actually asked God, Lord, if you want me to go? Listen, I asked our entire congregation Sunday night. We just finished our missions conference. And I had them all bow their heads and I said, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, if God called you to the mission field tonight, would you go? And if you're not ashamed to say, here's my hand, preacher, if God called me tonight, I'd go. Listen, I had people in their 70s raise their hand. I had kids that were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and I had people in their 70s raise their hand. Why? Because that's the plan and purpose of God. Hey, God's not so interested in your capability as He is in your availability. Amen. He's just looking for available people. Amen. Why? Because He's got a great plan and a great purpose. It's our responsibility. Remember what the Apostle Paul said as he talked to Christians? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Listen now, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. And be not, you know, here's part of the problem. And be not conformed where? To this world, to the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look up here at me. I love you, but I need to tell you something. The reason most people can't hear the voice of God because they're still conforming to the world. And let me tell you something, folks. The world screams real loud. It's real loud. Have you ever been in a situation to where the noise was so loud or a horn was so loud, you could see somebody talking, their mouth was moving, but you heard nothing? That's part of the problem today, is we're so connected with the world that God's speaking, but we don't hear anything. We have a responsibility to go ourself. We can go locally, daily in the temple. That's what the church did, right? So we can go locally. But wait a minute. Some of you, God wants you to go internationally. God wants some of you to go to Nigeria. That's where He wants you to go. Hey, God wants some of you to go over here to India. But wait a minute. God may want some of you to go into the prison systems. Hey, folks, do you realize that there are 2 million people incarcerated in America? There's some countries don't have 2 million in their country. Who's going to reach them? Hey, folks, listen. There's available mission fields everywhere, and for some people, you don't have to leave the United States of America. They're incarcerated everywhere. Many of them lost their family, their homes, businesses. Who's going to reach them for Christ? Hey, I'm just saying to you, we have a responsibility locally. Or some of us, we have a responsibility abroad. Hey, wouldn't it be great, preacher, if every member in our church had this attitude that Isaiah had in Isaiah 6:8? He said, here am I, Lord, send me. Wait a minute, not send him or send them. No, Lord, send me. And Lord, if you'll call me, I'll go today. How about old Paul? Remember when the Holy Spirit of God, here he's on the road to Damascus, God slapped the fire out of him, face down. Listen, when God gets a hold of you, you're going to know it's God. He popped his head up and he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Hey, you think 20 minutes before that he was concerned about souls? You think he was concerned about missions? You think he was concerned about Papua New Guinea? You think he was concerned about Nigeria? You think he was concerned about India? You think he was concerned about any place in the world? No! He was only concerned after God got a hold of him. Amen. Hey, listen, I love you folks, but let me tell you something. God needs to get hold of some of you. Amen. And I mean get a hold of you, and then when he gets a hold of you, you know what you're going to say? Listen, at least I hope you'd say, oh, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? You see, we have a responsibility to go ourselves. Here's the second responsibility we have. We have a responsibility to give. So we have a responsibility to go either locally or internationally, but we have a responsibility also to give. I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what the cheerful givers are? Those are the people who said, oh, Lord, what would you have me to give to world missions? Oh, you want me to give that? And you say, no problem, Lord. And so, boy, you just reach in there and you give it. God says, He loves a cheerful giver. Did you notice that He says here that we're not to give grudgingly or of necessity? Now, I want you to look up here. In just a moment, I think we're going to see some slides and see some others. But listen, these missionaries will tell you the same thing. They don't want you to give out of pity. But did you know that a lot of people give out of pity? Because, brother, they feel sorry for the people in Nigeria. Don't feel sorry for them. Listen, you ought to rejoice because you're sending a missionary over there to give them the gospel. We don't give out of pity. We give because there's a plan and there's a purpose that needs to be accomplished. And we as a church can get it accomplished, you see. You see, your money does matter. Do you know God? It matters so much to God that He is very concerned about how you view it. Yeah, God's concerned about how you see money. He put it something like this: for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Paul put it like this to young Timothy. He says, son, for the love of money is the root of all evil. God is concerned about how we view money. Now, listen very carefully. This is important. Don't miss this. The money that you and I have that God gives us is a means to a spiritual end. It's a means to a spiritual end. Look up here at me. It is a resource that's given to us to promote the purpose and the plan. This right here is a horrible, horrible master. But it is a great servant. Amen. It's a great servant. But it's a horrible master though. And yet most people, we hold on to that. Listen, I've got a dollar bill right here. I'm looking right here. Yeah, old George's eyes are bugged out. Somebody squeezed him so hard. Hey, I'm just saying to you tonight, folks, people hold on to this like they have nothing else in this world to hold on to. Let me tell you something. Tonight, if God told me to sell my house, sell my truck, sell everything, and go to the mission field, let me tell you something. You're looking at a boy right here, I wouldn't think twice about it. You know why? Because I've experienced the blessings of giving. Of giving. You see, if we properly and biblically appropriate the funds, God replenishes. But if we foolishly and unbiblically manage them, it diminishes. He replenishes if we do it biblically. He diminishes if we tend to hold on to it. Now, so it does matter to God how we view money. It matters to God what we do with it. So how we see it and what we do with it, it matters to God what we do with it. Matter of fact, it mattered so much that Ananias and Sapphira were supposed to give all that they'd sold and lay it at the apostles' feet, but they didn't do that. So it does matter what you do with it, right? It did matter to God. If you don't believe that, one of these days, if you get to see Ananias and Sapphira, ask them if money matters. Ask them if it matters to God, how we view it and what we do with it. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you an illustration here. We are never to be a reservoir of our resources. We were saved to be a conduit of our resources. Are you with me? Never a reservoir, always a conduit of our resources. Now, I'm sure that there are some young Christians here today. Let me help you with something, all right? Before we get to the faith promise giving to missions, let me help you with something. Like I said, God gives us resources. He gives us money as a resource. It's a means to an end. Before we do anything, before you pay your bills, before you make your mortgage payment, your car payment, God says here is your resources. Now, if I have $10 in my hand, this is not very difficult, right? Here we go. If I get these college students right here, I'm going to see if they can figure what 10% is. All right? So, if I have $10 in my hand before I do anything, what's supposed to come off the top? The tithe, right? Not the offering. The tithe is the Lord's. All right? So if I've got $10 in my hand, how much would that be? That's God's. Now listen, that's my obligation. Right? This is God's. I'm not to do anything with it. I'm not to send that to a televangelist. Can I help you out with something? It's also to be given through my local church. Amen. All right, so I have $10. How much do I have left? I've got nine. I've given my tithe. Now follow me on this. But wait a minute. God said to Malachi, or Malachi said to the priests of his day, he says, that Lord says, you have robbed him in tithes and robbed him in both of them. He said, okay, well, where am I supposed to get my offering from? The other 90%. You give your offering out of the other 90%. So let's say that I've got $9 left. And God in this missions conference tells you give 20% of the remaining 90%. 20%. All right. Now how much do I have left? I have $7 left. Or I've got 70%. All right, if God told me to give 20 and I gave 20%, I'm right with God, right? If the tithe goes through the local church, by the way, the missions go through the local church, and I give my tithe, I'm right with God. So wait a minute now, I give 20% to missions, I give 10% of my tithe, I've got how much left? So that means anything else I do through the church comes out of that 70%. Now what I'm trying to help you with is this, folks. If I've got 70% left, and I gave 20% to missions, if that's what God told me to do. By the way, that's 20% on every $10. Yeah. All right? So I did that. And I gave my tithe. I gave my missions offering. And now I have 70% left. You say, but boy, I sure could do more with 100%. Let me help you with something real quick. I would rather live on the 70% blessed than try to live on 100% cursed. You know, there's a lot of cursed people.
Yes, sir.
Because God says, hey, my tithe, that's your obligation. So what's the offering? That's your willful sacrifice to God. You willfully are giving that to the Lord. You see, I'm to give my tithe, that's the obedient. And that's the command. I'm to give my offering. That's to fulfill God's plan. You see, I'm to offer it to God by faith. Didn't I read somewhere in the instruction manual, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Didn't I read somewhere in the instruction manual also that it says the just shall live by faith? It says that three times in the New Testament. I'm supposed to be operating by faith. Most people think they can't make it unless they have 100% of their income. And listen, I've only got 70% left, and I'm happy as I can be. Matter of fact, you know what I can do? When the preacher says, hey, we're going to take a special love offering for missionaries, you know what I can do out of that 70%? Amen! Wait a minute, I want you to give another 20%. He said, wait a minute, what am I going to do with the rest of it? Listen, again, I would rather live on 40% or 50% blessed than try to live outside the will of God cursed. So it does matter what you do with money. So I said, first of all, that it's a responsibility. And the next two will go real quick. Don't you look up here and we're almost done. So there's a responsibility. Jesus said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now, so we have a responsibility. Here's the second thing quickly. We have an opportunity. What is the opportunity? Well, you remember in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus walked out and he began to look over the people of Jerusalem. He says, but when the scripture says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Hey, there's opportunities everywhere. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? They're few. Oh my goodness, we got more people than we got people to reach them. Is that kind of what you get out of that? There's more of a harvest than we have people to get the harvest in. So Jesus told his disciples, listen now, because I'm sure they were thinking, well, what are we going to do? He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. If we need more hands and need more feet on the ground
to reach the harvest and get it into the fold, we've got to have more people to go. Now, who's it going to be? You're not going to tell me in a crowd like this that God's not speaking to somebody about missions field. You're not going to tell me that. I know He is. I know He's speaking to somebody as I'm preaching. There's a still small voice that's superseding the voice of the preacher saying, he's talking about you. But I'm 40 years old. I'm a career person. We just supported a missionary in our missions conference last week that worked for the city of Dallas. Quit an $89,000 a year job because God called him to the mission field. Now, you know what most people would say? You're nuts. That's what they'd say. You're crazy. What are you doing? You're nuts. No, 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 no. I'm right with God. Happiest guy you'd ever want to meet. 50% of the known languages of the world do not have a copy of the Word of God in their language. We just took on a missionary going to the Tibetan people. There's a specific group that they're trying to reach there. They don't even have a Bible. I said, how are you supposed to go in there and witness to these people and win these people to Christ? He said, well, first of all, we're going to go in there and love them. He said, love speaks all languages. Man, you know what that missionary made me? I thought, well, how are you going to reach them without a Bible? He said, oh, Pastor, we're just going to go and love them for Jesus' sake. He said, because love speaks every language. I walked away from him. I said, man, that guy's got more character than I got. Hey, he saw more than I saw. He said, we're just going to go love them for Jesus Christ. One of the most difficult languages to learn. You know, I saw an article not too long ago that said 80% of professing believers thought that every language in the world had a copy of the Bible. 80% of professing believers thought that everybody had a copy of the Bible. Brother, they don't have a copy of the Bible. Matter of fact, most of the world, 57% of the known languages don't even have a copy of the Word of God in their language. 8 billion souls, they say, on planet Earth, with an estimate of maybe, a billion true born-again believers. As I mentioned earlier, God is not nearly as interested in your capability as He is in your availability. So we have a responsibility as a church and an individual. Listen, we have opportunity. They're everywhere. You know, before God called me into, or after God called me into the ministry and then later the pastorate, I felt that He wanted me to go to the mission field. And preacher, I don't know how you feel, but every time a missionary comes to our church, I see those slides, I thought, Lord, can I go there? No, you got a pastor here. So another missionary comes in. Listen, I was watching last week. I was looking at faces of Tibetan kids, and I was looking at faces of incarcerated men, and I was looking at faces of people in Honduras and people in the Dominican Republic, and on and on. And every time they show them, I said, Lord, can I go there? Listen, folks, I want to go everywhere. You say, preacher, that's nuts. You can't go everywhere. Oh, no. Yeah, I can. Did you know I can be in Parkside Baptist Church as a member, and yet I can be in Nigeria at the same time? You know why? He said, how can you do that? By giving by faith so that He can go. Do you know, not only, listen, let me go one step further. I can be a member of Parkside and be in Nigeria and India at the same time. You say, you lost your mind. Were you having an out-of-body experience? No, I just give. I just give. And God says, no more. No more. And then God says, no. I tell you what, this month, give your whole paycheck to missions. Oh, but Lord, I can't afford that. No, you can't afford not to. Whatever God takes you, listen, do you understand? I'm being extreme to help you to see something. If you go home after this meeting and you go home, okay, well, let's see what we can afford to give to mission. After the mortgage payment, after this, then listen, go ahead and pop your fence, because you're not trying to give by faith at all. You're trying to figure out what you can afford to give. You're relying on your resources. Listen, this week, we're not relying on our resources. We're relying on God's resources. Hey, didn't I read in the scripture that He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills? Yes. So God says, hey, that guy right there believes that I can supply. So we have a responsibility. There's opportunity. Let me finish and say this. The last thing I want to let you know tonight is this. There is a certain accountability. Certain accountability. I remember as a kid, one of my jobs, my dad passed away just a few months ago, back in October of 2016. And, you know, when you have a parent pass away, just a jillion things go through your mind. It's almost like you go back in time to when you were this big. And I remember one of my jobs was to mow the lawn. And I remember my dad telling me one morning, he called me down and he says, listen, by the time I get home tonight, this was in the summer, by the time I get home tonight, I want the lawn mowed. Yes, sir. Well, you know how kids are. You kind of get busy. Because by the way, when you're 10 or 11 years old, you don't have much time for anything else, right? I mean, your schedule is so full. I mean, you're just doing all these other different things. And it got just about time for my dad to get home. And I thought, uh-oh, I haven't mowed the lawn. And you know something? There was an adrenaline rush. Y'all know, you kids, you know what I'm talking about? When you know that something is about to happen and you're about to meet the judge. And I had this adrenaline rush. And I thought, oh no, I'm not going to get it done. And then, listen, and the thing is, you try to figure out, do I want to be out there mowing it when he comes in? That's even worse. So I thought, maybe he won't notice. Because, by the way, it wasn't that high, so maybe he won't notice. My dad noticed everything. And boy, when he came home, I'm biddling around the house like I'm busy. And boy, he called me in there. And this was in the day where parents were able to get their point across in certain ways. That's the reason I messed up. Because my parents actually believed in corporal punishment. And they weren't even independent Baptists. Let me tell you something. I feared my dad when he got home. But let me tell you something, dear folks. I love you. But listen, there's coming a day you're going to face your God. And you and I are going to give an accountability about what we did with the purpose and the plan of Almighty God. And we're going to say, well, I didn't know that you wanted all of that for missions. He said, well, my goodness, I gave you 66 mission books. I gave it to you, and it was written by missionaries. And listen, I hate to even ask this. How many of you have at least 5 Bibles in your house? Raise your hand. You got at least 5 Bibles. 5-fold. And listen, I'm going to guess, preacher, I own 50 Bibles minimum. At least. Now, all I'm saying to you is this. You got 5 instruction manuals? Does that kind of dawn on you that maybe God wants us to open that up and find out what the plan is? Can you imagine opening up that box from Walmart, tearing it up, and there's 5 instruction manuals in there? You think they might want you to follow the instructions? It's very simple. You were given a faith promise card tonight. And that faith promise card, it is your gift. It says, I believe God. That's a good starting point. I believe God. He's given us the plan. He's given us the purpose. And if we'll do God's will, God's way, we will have God's support. You know why? Because missions matter to God. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment.